When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
This episode is brought to you by Reese's Peanut Butter Cups. In breaking news, leading scientists worldwide are conducting experiments to determine if Reese's Peanut Butter Cups are the perfect combination of peanut butter and chocolate. However, it appears the study was inconclusive, as the scientists couldn't help but eat all the Reese's. Because when you want something sweet, you can't do better than Reese's. Find Reese's now at a store near you.
Talking about chicken a la king, mango and garbanzo, tabbouleh, potatoes and vegetables with roasted garlic and basil, zucchini ziti, granola, fruit bar. Look at all this beautiful food.
All right, guys, welcome to Green Eggs and Dan, where I interview amazing people with amazing minds, but all I care about is what is in their fridge. My guest today, hilarious comedian and singer. He was on the hit musical, The Book of Mormon, and makes some of the funniest musical comedy out there. You can see him in May at the Netflix Is a Joke Festival. May 12th, right?
Correct.
May 12th. Please welcome Gabe Gibbs, everybody.
Hey, thanks for having me.
I don't know why I ended that like what's his name? Why am I forgetting his name? Who's the most famous disc jockey ever? Howard Stern.
Oh, welcome.
Gabe Gibbs.
You said the most famous disc jockey ever, and for some reason, Casey Kasem came to my head. Yeah, which
he is the most famous disc jockey.
Yeah, I don't know why. I was like, yeah, of course, Casey Kasem, voice of Shaggy.
Yeah, I feel like if it was like before the 90s, you're a disc jockey, and then after that, you're a DJ, right?
Yeah.
Is that how it goes?
So. I think so. That sounds right to me.
All right, well, let's get into your fridge. You guys can see Gabe's fridge on my Instagram, at StandUpDan. Here we go. I'm sharing the screen. Okay.
Dan, I'm so sorry to interrupt you on your own podcast, but I have to preface this and say we had just gotten back from travel and had not grocery shopped in 2 weeks, but I wanted to bring some honesty to the podcast. So this was just... unadulterated, got back from travel. Proceed. I'm so sorry to interrupt you on your own show.
The pre-fridge mea culpa is one of the saddest moves on Green Eggs and Dan.
Oh.
And you, my friend, are guilty of it. You're lucky, though, that the last couple of people that I've interviewed have had such horrendous fridges.
Oh.
I'm looking at you, Josh Edelman. That yours is actually not awful.
Okay.
It's not awful. Okay, let's get started. First of all, look, here's the thing. Now I feel like I have to make you feel better because you're see what you've done to me?
No, you can feel free to roast. I just want you to know where my spirit is before we begin this journey.
I mean, look, I think it's not, here's the thing. It's not an awful fridge, but it's a huge fridge. You have a nice big fridge.
Sure.
You have like a grown-up fridge. You have like a family-sized fridge. I don't even know. Are you single? Are you in a relationship? Do you have children? I don't know anything.
No, this is my wife and I's fridge as provided by landlord of the space that we live in. So you can thank our landlord for this double-door fridge.
Yeah, it's a double-door, opening the Ark of the Covenant-style fridge.
Yes.
Look, again, you have some pretty good stuff here. It's just there's so much open space. Like, it's very Marie Kondo minimalist. There's a positive spin that we can do here.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. The only things that are in here are sparking joy. That's what the situation is. You're right.
Yeah, exactly. So let's start at the top. Okay, I think I just bought this. I believe this is sauerkraut, the wild brine sauerkraut.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. Yes, it is.
I do like that stuff. It's pretty good. I just went through my first jar of it, got it at Whole Foods. Was a fan.
Yes.
I'm wondering, after I finished it, if I can just buy cabbage now and slice it up and put it back in there.
Oh, that's a good question. I don't understand vinegars and pickling to that degree, but it sounds right to me.
To what degree do you understand it, Gabe?
Okay. The degree that my wife tried to pickle peppers, not a tongue twister on purpose, but my wife tried to recently pickle peppers to make some hot sauce of her own, and it's harder than you want, and also you can kill people if you do it wrong, if you're fermenting wrong. Yeah. But I assume you have a better understanding of these things than I.
No, I like your that you go straight to limericks when I ask.
Yeah.
First of all, making hot sauce is like, it's the devil's work. There's no place for that in a private home. I've tried it a couple times, and it's like liquid magma gets everywhere. And then like for the next couple of weeks, you'll touch a countertop and then like rub your eye. Everything burns for the next month or so in your house. You can't make hot sauce in your house.
Yeah, no, it did not go as she had hoped. But she was wise enough to wear gloves. So I did walk in and see sort of some lunch lady cosplay going on in our kitchen, which was nice.
First of all, I get it. All right. I have a Pavlovian response when I hear the word Sloppy Joe.
Ooh.
I get a little tingly.
Yeah, baby.
Yeah, I look, and there's so many wonderful hot sauce brands out there. There's one, Yellowbird. They do not sponsor my podcast. They won't sponsor my podcast, but I give them shout outs because I like their fucking hot sauce so much. Yeah. And it's annoying. So I feel like I always have to like counter it with some negative stuff because they won't sponsor it.
Yeah.
Did you know? We just have to make up some bad stuff about Yellowbird. The Yellowbird people, I don't know if you know this, they fund a lot of like redistricting efforts to make sure that that poor people can't vote in elections.
Oh my God. Wait, that can't be true. That can't be true.
I don't know. It might be. Right, who knows?
You heard it here first.
Who knows? Maybe if they sponsor me, I can come out with the truth. But until then.
Yeah. Until then. Famously, the people at Yellowbird spend a lot of their profits redistricting.
Yeah. I heard that they use the leftover spice to make pepper spray, which they give to like militias, like rogue militias in South America.
Yes.
That's something they do.
Yeah. Guerrilla warfare is definitely one of their strongest outreach programs for the hot sauce.
Yeah, they do that. But besides that, they have a very nice hot sauce.
And please sponsor. Yeah.
And please sponsor so that I can stop defaming you.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, more fun. I'm seeing a lot of expensive pickles here. We've got expensive pickles. We've got expensive sauerkraut.
Yeah.
I'm just saying the musical comedy must be paying off.
Yeah, baby.
What are these? I've seen this brand. Is it Grillo's?
Yeah, Grillo's pickles. I know nothing about them other than they're at Whole Foods and my wife and I like them a lot, except that I did see they came out with a sneaker collab with Patrick Ewing, the old basketball player, Grillo's Pickles and Patrick Ewing. And I want to say, like, it wasn't Champion, but it was like a sneaker brand that like is not really known for basketball shoes. But Grillo's Pickles and Patrick Ewing came out with a pickle collab sneaker within the last couple of years.
Is that true? That's amazing.
Deadass. Yeah, I'll find it and send it to you.
Okay. I first of all, a lot of the Knicks fans are listening, and I'm not. I want to preface this by saying I'm not a sports guy, but I am a Knicks in the 90s fan, and it's
okay.
Patrick Ewing, not Ewing.
I know. I said it with disgust because I'm from Detroit. So
Patrick Ewing.
Yeah.
Oh yeah. Okay. Yeah. I think I get that sports reference because there was a big rivalry between the Knicks and the Detroit Pistons.
Very good job.
Thank you. And wait, hold on. His name, Isaiah Thomas?
Yes, very good.
Holy shit. This is like, I'm so impressed with myself right now.
Wow. I'm sorry, is this a sports podcast now? I think it's pivoting hard in the middle of this. Yeah, you got a musical comedy guy on your show so that you could make it a sports podcast.
Honestly, there's got to be a market for like a sports podcast for people who don't care about sports.
I like it.
I'm telling you, I have a... I have like a group chat with my college, my boys.
Yeah.
My
yeah,
boys
yeah.
from college. And every day now, because I think there's some sort of draft or reshuffling happening within the football world.
Yes, correct.
And every day it's like, oh my God, can you believe it? Casey is going to Arizona. And I'm like, I don't, can you guys have a private chat? And they just lose their minds
yeah, yeah.
over these people being traded to other places.
Men they've never met, playing a sport they'll never play, losing their
yeah.
minds.
Yeah. It's pretty funny. I do a bit about this. Like, it's for like a bunch of guys who are like slightly like have like homophobic undertones. They all are part of something called a fantasy league, which yeah. is like a pretty gay sounding league. And all they do yeah. is like study and trade men all day long.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, they want to wear their outfits, the whole deal. I love it. Yeah. It's so good.
It's great.
It's so good.
Okay, so let's keep moving here. This looks like yeah. something healthy or collagen-y. Is this a collagen?
Yeah, it's like the Athletic Greens-y thing, but it's not Athletic Greens brand. I forget what it is, but it's like one of those drinks okay. that sucks so bad, but it's good for you, you know?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It's funny. I went to my doctor yesterday for like my yearly checkup, and I was like, do I need to be taking any of these things, like supplements or whatever? And he's like he's a young dude. He's like with the times of, I don't know, what's hip to do?
Sure.
And he said no.
Oh, incredible.
He said no. Incredible. He was like, no, man. If he's like, your blood is, your numbers are good. You don't need to be futzing with it. So
love
I don't
that.
Need that shit. Not
love
for
that.
Me.
Hell yeah.
Not for me, bro. What is in this bag of like yellow stuff?
That's really a good question. I want to say peas, but that was not a purchase made by me. So I do not
hold
know.
Hold on. Your story's falling apart. There are peas down here on the second row in a
oh.
bag.
Oh. Then maybe that's yeah. edamame, the Trader Joe's edamame?
Is it?
It might be.
Oh, okay.
This photo's like 4 or 5 days old now, so the fridge has changed. So
you got your. So it seems like you have a good mix of Trader Joe's and Whole Foods, from what I'm gathering here.
Yeah, you could tell that I live in the Silver Lake area because
yes.
the two places that service our fridge are those.
Yes. This looks like a artisanal grandma is making salad dressing situation. There's a mason jar. Looks like a mustard vinaigrette.
You're close. My sister made some lemon curd and sent it over
oh.
to the house. So that is
wow.
some sibling curd. Didn't like that the way it came out
That's
of my mouth.
Disgusting.
But yeah, hated no. it. But it's all right. We'll keep it. We'll keep it.
What does one do with a mason jar full of lemon curd? I mean, this sounds like, you know, you're like a 49ers heading west, panning for gold, and you got your lemon curd as a
yeah.
little treat in a mason jar.
You know, yeah, you definitely store it for winter, of course, in the harder months of the year. Pull it out of the cellar
yes.
when you need.
Yes.
Put it on some toast, some rye. I don't know.
Yes, yeah. Whatever the depression is putting at your doorstep.
You accept it with grace, yeah.
Yes. Is it a spreadable thing? Well, what do you do with lemon curd? I really don't know.
Yeah, lemon curd, I didn't really know either. It's almost like butter texture. Like in between butter and like a thick sort of crystallized honey. But it's I don't actually even know how it's made, but it's delicious. It's a it's like a creamy, lemony, I would say more like sweet than tart, but a little bit of tart.
Well, for every interstitial, before we go to the commercial break, I do a deep dive into something that piqued our curiosity.
Yes.
I think lemon curd, you're about to have your day.
Oh, baby.
Okay, and then you've got your Stella Artois up here, very standard, crowd pleaser, everyone loves them. Now, we have a bunch of jars, a bunch of Tupperwares here. I know that I see a lemon here.
Great job. Yes.
Some sort of cheese products here, I'm assuming?
Yeah, this is a good question. I think under the lemon is going to be your regular white onion, half of a white onion. And then to the left, ooh boy, the word that's going to come out of my mouth is tofurkey, perhaps. We're a sort of vegetarian household. So again, some of these items, I just am an observer of these items.
For those of you at home, the rankings of disgusting things mentioned on this podcast thus far go second place, tofurkey, first place, sister curd.
Oh, yeah. Even hearing it again sends shivers down my spine. It's really hard to hear. We're having a tough episode so far. The listenership is dropping.
Listen, we're going to get through this. We can do this together. Yeah. You have enough eggs to feed an army. You have the like two of the 18 packs, like military grade, like, you know, I'm assuming like when they do airdrops of some sort, these are the type of eggs that are in there.
Yeah. These parachute down to us about once a week. we pick them up at the front door. We go through eggs so fast. Again, a mostly vegetarian-ish household. So
yeah, I love that you're like, we're vegetarian. We just have chicken abortions as much as we can.
Yeah, that's as often as we can. Yes. The pre-chicken, if you will. I love it. That's so funny.
Pre-chicken. Put that on the list of disgusting things.
God dang it.
Mentioned on the podcast. Pre-chicken, tofurkey, sister curd. You've got your Trader Joe's feta cheese in the brine. It seems like you guys love yogurt because you got it on two different rows here.
Yeah, you gotta have your backup yogurt, because as soon as you get through the first yogurt, you gotta be ready to get up in there and have a second one on call.
Yeah, this is the, what is it? What is the parlance in musicals? The understudy.
Yes, exactly right. Yeah, gotta have a good understudy. He's normally an ensemble member, but every once in a while gets bumped up to play lead yogurt.
Are these the same yogurts? Are they both the Greek low fat?
Yeah, I think so, but they're different colors in the photo, aren't they?
They are. This one seems like a teal.
Yeah.
By the way, on our sports podcast, we will be talking about the colors of the jerseys.
Yeah.
Using more niche names for the colors.
Yes,
such
please.
Such as the Miami Dolphins have a teal outfit, I believe.
They do have a teal outfit. I don't think
it's called an outfit.
Yeah, the teal outfit. Yes. They wear it to football rehearsal every week. Yeah.
Yes. I think one of these might be the full fat. I think the one that's turned away because you get there's shame.
Yeah, there might be some shame.
Full fat.
The full fat is probably the above the marquee lead of the show, and you'd be a little disappointed if like you paid tickets and you get your playbill and it's like at this performance the roles normally played by full fat yogurt will be played by Greek low fat yogurt. You'd be disappointed.
Oh man.
Yeah.
You'd be like, oh God. And you gotta tell your friends, you're gonna be like, how was the show?
It was fine. Yeah.
Was Lin-Manuel Miranda there? No, but low-fat Greek yogurt took his spot.
Yeah, he did okay. You know, he sang it well, but it wasn't lived in.
I have a lot of musical questions for you.
Yeah, I have a lot of musical answers for you.
Great. Really? Okay, great. Sure. Which we'll get to after after we do the fridge. So, okay, the obvious thing to point out is that thus far, we have a very, very upscale fridge. We have wonderful products, a lot of organic stuff. We got wonderful Angostura bitters, however you say that word.
Uh-huh. I think that was right. Yeah. Whatever you did was right.
Thank you. We have curds of all siblings. But then, over here in the door, you got a bottle of ranch.
Yeah, baby.
Facing in, because again, shame. Around the label.
There is a lot of shame that, the full fat yogurt, the ranch facing backwards. Damn, you're right. Wow.
Yeah. Yeah. You turn forward the things that you want us to know about. And yeah. And then you turn back. Like, God knows what's in this jar over here. It's probably like black tar heroin or something.
Yeah. Yeah, you caught us. We like to keep it in the door so it's not too cold. Yeah.
Right. So you're a ranch family.
Yeah, we are a ranch family for sure. When there's pizza, it's Frank's on the pizza and it's ranch for the crust.
Whoa.
Ooh, baby.
Frank's Red Hot, huh?
Yeah, that's a thing my wife introduced me to. I was not a hot sauce guy in that way growing up, but my wife showed me Frank's on pizza in probably a couple of years ago now, and it's like, whew, it's game changer. It's a full experience.
Frank's, unlike Yellowbird, does not fund rogue militias throughout the world with their excess pepper spray.
No, not at all.
No.
They sponsor a lot of Boys and Girls Clubs. They do a lot of good work.
They're good.
Yeah.
Franks, you're on notice. You have a month to sponsor my podcast. Or we start bringing out the revisionist history.
There we go. I like blackmailing your way into sponsorships. Yeah. It's a great way to run a business.
Just fear-based sponsors. What is your wife from the East Coast?
She is, yeah. She was born in Brooklyn, raised in Boston. So she's East Coast gal, which is
why. That makes sense.
Yeah, she introduced Frank's. I'm from Detroit area. I don't think Frank's was a big thing. I don't think Frank's was hot sauce in general in the Midwest is not as known of an entity.
Yeah. Frank's is the OG Buffalo Wing hot sauce.
Okay.
So that's why on the East Coast, it's like, it like has a real storied past. It's like the Northeast Tabasco sauce. Like, it is our thing. And if you're making traditional Buffalo Wings, you're supposed to use Frank Red Hot and melted butter as your sauce on them.
Ooh.
I will say the last couple times I made Buffalo Wings, I did use Yellowbird. Yellowbird. It came out delicious.
Ooh.
It did come out delicious. However, I did go to the doctor, and he said to me, Dan, you have 3 months to live. And I said, why? He said, have you been eating Yellowbird hot sauce? I said, yes. He's like, yeah, that just causes not even a disease. It just causes a 3-month countdown to your demise.
Yeah, there's no way to turn it around either, except we found that if they sponsor podcasts,
yes,
then it actually really helps combat the countdown.
And the rogue regimes as well.
Yeah. Can't forget about that.
Listen, a pretty good fridge. Not cool. Bad.
All right.
Is there anything that I've left? I mean, you've got, this is a museum of cheese up here. It looks like cheese and butter.
Yeah, it's butter. Okay, it's butter. It's also like face masks, like hydrating face masks. Somehow that ended up on that shelf. This is a funny shelf. This is butter. I'm looking at it now. Butter, face masks. Those like thin things are face masks. There's a little tube of anchovy paste.
Oh yeah, cool.
I don't know why those all ended up on that same shelf, but it's the we don't know what to do with it shelf.
I love the toothpaste tube of anchovy paste. I think it's the best, like, if you need a quick burst of flavor in anything you're making, boom, squeeze that baby in.
Yes, agree. I do love it. It's a nice version of salt that I didn't really know about until some sort of Allison Roman pasta recipe ended up in our kitchen and taught us the way.
Allison Roman is a huge anchovy head.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, yeah.
She loves anchovies and shallots. I feel like everything she makes is like, put in 20 million times more shallots than you think you need and 20 million times more anchovies.
Yeah.
And it all comes out great. I mean, her recipes are awesome.
Yeah, hell yeah.
Yeah. I've always wanted to prank someone, though, with the tube of anchovy paste and somehow, like, put a toothpaste, thing on it.
It would have to be a friend with a diminished sense of smell, because I think the stink would be hard to deny. But I do like this. I do like this as a prank concept.
Thank you.
Brushing your teeth with anchovy paste. Tough.
It sounds like something that like YouTube pranksters would do to each other. Like, all right, you lost the challenge. It's time to brush your teeth with anchovy paste.
Yeah.
Are you watching this guy? I can't get this. I'm trying to get him on the podcast. But there's a guy who's eating raw chicken every day for until he gets a tummy ache.
What?
On Instagram.
How many days has he gone?
He's on like day 55 now.
No way. Really?
He's amassed around 450,000 followers on Instagram. Literally will just sit in front of the camera and be like, it's day 45 of eating chicken until I get a tummy ache. And he, like, I'm talking eating raw chicken until I get a tummy ache. He'll like take a full chicken breast and just start eating it like it's a banana. And then like he'll have like a martini glass with like six raw eggs. Yeah, it's intense. And it's like he's gone a month and a half and he's fine. And again, I don't know if this guy is like, he seems like he's just doing it kind of for fun, but the broader message that I think he's getting across is like, we're being lied to.
Yeah.
We all have had such an irrational fear of raw chicken, it seems. And this guy is just like, I mean, straight up taking it and putting it in blenders and drinking it as a smoothie.
Where is he getting these meats? Is he getting high quality meats or is he just like Kroger meats? How is he doing this?
Kroger, if you'd like to be a sponsor of the podcast, I'll make sure that my guests don't talk about your chicken in the way that Gabe just did.
I'm so sorry, Kroger. I'm so sorry.
No, apparently he's getting like very good quality chicken, which obviously helps.
Okay.
Because the whole E. coli thing, E. coli basically, I mean, I hate talking about the scatological because we're a food podcast.
Yeah.
But E. coli comes from chicken shit. And usually in the good quality places, it's not like sloshing around with chicken shit. It's like more the Kroger-y stuff.
Again.
Kroger.
Sorry, Kroger.
Apologies, but you know what to do.
You know what the answer is. or Ralph's regionally for those who need to know.
Anyway, wonderful fridge. Here's the thing. This fridge is a very good base. And then if you know, you can cook a lot of great stuff with this fridge. You know, you've got your bouillon here. You've got your anchovies there. You've got the half an onion. I mean, I could make a bunch of fun stuff with this fridge. I just need, you don't have any, you have a lot of recurrings and no series regulars.
Yes, that is a great way of putting it. Yes, we do not have anyone between 1 and 5 on the call sheet. It is only 6 and lower. Though they are key. They are key to the story.
Yes, they are. I mean, you need the background actors miming their words.
Amen.
In the back of the bar to make sure that, you know, to feel like a full bar. That's is this right. QP Mayo, by the way, this bag here?
What a keen eye you have. Yes, of course.
Cool. Big fan of the QP Mayo on the podcast.
Good. I love it. It's new in our house within the last year or two, but they have it at like Target now. It's everywhere now.
Do you know what makes it so good?
Tell me.
Two things. Number one, there's more egg yolk in the ratio, so it's a little more, fatty, which is nice. We like that. But also, they add MSG.
Oh, for real? Hell yeah. Give me that.
Yeah. It's like, why does this taste so goddamn good? Oh, it's got MSG in it. Got it.
Incredible. Wait, didn't we like flip the script on MSG? Like they were like, it's so bad. And then recently they were like, actually, no, it's not bad. Right?
Yeah, it is and it isn't. I think, I'm going to get in some trouble for this. But here's the take is that sodium glutamate, MSG, is a naturally occurring thing. And you get it on like kelp.
Oh.
Like dried kelp, which is why in a lot of Japanese recipes, they'll take kombu, which is the dried kelp, and they'll put that in like in boiling water, and it adds like an umami to it. So that, it is a naturally occurring substance. It is naturally occurring. However, the stuff that we're getting in stores is made in a lab. So I don't think MSG is bad for you, but MSG that is made in a lab, I mean, it's like, how do you feel about artificial flavors or artificial colors? Like, I put it in the same category.
Okay.
So You know, do with that what you may. If I'm wrong, someone please correct me. But I think that's basically the deal.
Incredible. That makes a lot of sense.
All right, cool. Well, then, if I get canceled, we're both going down together. Thank you for jumping on this.
Thank God. Thank God.
All right, Gabe. So I'm curious about the food, musical food. So when you were you on a traveling? Were you guys on a travel team? Or were you on a stationary team?
Great question. I was on both. So I did the Book of Mormon for 3 years. I toured for a year, Broadway'd for a year, toured for a year again. And unlike being on set for TV or film, there is no backstage food. The only thing that you could qualify as something edible backstage would be lozenges and teas and things for singers.
Throat coat.
Yeah, exactly right. Literally throat coat and Ricola, and sometimes sugar free if people are picky.
Right.
But yeah, it's mostly that. We had a lot of people some people can just like eat right before a show, especially Mormon is it's a pretty high cardio show. So yeah. I could never eat within like an hour and a half, 2 hours before the show. I had to be done eating so that I had time. And when you're singing, you can't be like choking down a burp if you just had some like broccoli or whatever, you know, 10 minutes before going on stage. Yeah. So often backstage does not have a whole lot of food, but you will have some dudes back there just like at intermission scarfing down some Chinese food and then going back out there and doing the thing.
Here.
Yeah, I can't do that. I'm like a water and lozenges and do you know about Gerthers? It's like this old pastille, I think is what they call them. I'll send you, but they're kind of squishy and they're made with oh gosh, I'm going to forget the ingredients, but it's not like what's the thing that's in licorice? Star
anise?
Anise, yeah. Uh-huh. It's got like that because it also, throat coat has this too. But yeah, not a whole lot of food going on, but lots of lozenges. And it's kind of exactly what you'd expect. A bunch of people like drinking warm teas and doing their thing.
Wow. Yeah, it's funny. I did a gig a couple of weeks ago, a stand-up show in Vail. Beaver Creek, which is next to Vail. And it was in a beautiful theater. And in the green room, they have singers there a lot and stuff too. So in the green room, though, they had all the lozenges, they had all the teas, and then they had a fucking oxygen tank for if you had like altitude sickness.
Yes.
Which was crazy.
Yeah, when we were on tour and we went through, they don't have them in Salt Lake, but they do have them in Denver. If you're touring through Denver, like you had people, because it's like the altitude jump, if you're like, it's like how professional athletes like struggle when they play teams in Denver. It's the same thing. It's not the same thing as professional athletes.
It's exactly the same thing. It's 100% the same thing.
It's entirely the same. Same amount of money, same amount of everything. but you'll literally have side stage. You'll have like masks. So people will be like doing their dance thing and finish the number, run off stage and just start sucking wind because they like can't, like you're singing as high as you can, you do a new thing and you run side stage and you've like, you know, but it you usually settle after, I think they say like 3 or 4 days of doing the show, your body has adjusted, but for the first few days it's dicey.
Yeah, I can't imagine because I did an hour of stand-up, so I'm not like yelling and screaming, and I was probably taking a gulp of water every 10 seconds.
Yeah. Yeah.
And you just can't have water on stage. You're not allowed to.
Yeah. It's crazy.
Did you guys do the show in Salt Lake City?
Yes, dude. We did the show in Salt Lake City. I was there the first time we did it and the second time we did it. And you had a couple of picketers. But to be honest, that show is, A, it's funny and like a really great show. But it's also like, it's quite healing actually for people who have left that environment, the sort of church environment in that way. Right. So it was a lot of people who were obviously like people who are like heavy in the Mormon church are not going to go see that show. So it was a lot of people who like came because they needed a laugh about a thing that like was tough for them when they were younger. And so we had some picketers outside, but for the most part, it was like people who were really in on all the jokes in a way that was fun.
I mean, it was the funniest thing I've ever seen. I saw it in LA. I don't know if you were.
Yeah.
Was that you? Were you at the LA one?
I was at one of the LA ones. I was doing it in 2017 in LA at the Pantages.
Yeah, I think that's probably the one that I went to.
No way.
Amazing. I think that, but I felt like Mormons had like a good sense of humor around it. Like they were like, weren't there like missionaries like outside and like, didn't they take ads in the playbill?
Yes, correct. Yeah, they did it. It was a pretty savvy, like...
So cool.
Yeah, mostly the response from the church was, that I saw at least, was charming and quite savvy. Yeah, they took ads out. They would have people out there sometimes. Like, the ads used to say, like, you've seen the play, now read the book.
And
it was like... It was
so
like,
good.
Right, it's a good tagline. It was like, some Gen Z Mormon did a really good job of trying to like spin it
totally.
in a clever way.
You got trolled. You got trolled by Joseph Smith.
Yeah, exactly right.
While I have no idea, nor do I want to know what sister curd is, I have no shame in saying I have no idea what lemon curd is, and I want to know. It's a dessert spread and topping usually used in afternoon tea ceremonies in England, originally English in origin, dating back to the early 1800s. The recipe back then was pretty literal. Lemon acidulating cream to form curds, then separated from the whey through a cheesecloth, whatever that means. Now that we're not pilgrims, we make it differently. The basic ingredients are beaten egg yolks, sugar, fruit juice, and zest, which are generally cooked together until thick and then allowed to cool, forming a smooth, soft, flavorful spread. Curd has a thicker texture, similar to custard, and thinner than sister curd. All right, I'm going to get to some of the questions that I ask every guest, starting with, what is your earliest food memory?
Okay, I thought about this, and it's my mum is what we called her, my dad's mom's pantry. She, when we would go visit, she had, do you remember, I don't know if they still make these, but cereal boxes that were like the size of like a thick cassette tape almost, like mini cereal boxes. She had a bunch of those, which we loved. We thought they were so fun because growing up, we didn't have sugar cereal in the house. So we would go to her house and get all the Frosted Flakes and the Lucky Charms and that whole deal there. And then she also had, she was one of the people who would keep the shortbread tins, but then fill them with anything else. So it would be like, it used to be full of chocolates and now it's full of something else that she made. So that I would say would be like that was my earliest. Loved that. It felt so magic.
Can I tell you something? You just ratatouille'd me to a memory that I haven't thought of in decades.
Whoa.
Also, grandmother's. She had these Stella Dora cookies. I don't know if you remember those cookies. They were like round and had like a dot of chocolate in the middle.
Yeah.
And I remember taking those and dipping them in milk. Ooh. So that the outsides, the cake part, got soft. I'd like a chipmunk, I'd eat the cake part off, and then I'd have this silver dollar size thing of chocolate that I'd chew on like gum.
That's so good.
Good memory.
Yeah,
that's a good
hell
one.
Hell yeah.
Wait, what is, I'm trying to, is your grandmother ethnically anything from old country? Because what would you call her?
Like the word mom twice, even though she was
mom, okay.
Yeah, even though she was my dad's mom. I mean, she was like, her dad was off the boat Scottish, so she grew up very Scottish, but not like, that doesn't come from anything other than, I think, Philly. My dad's from Philly, which is maybe why we call her that. I think people in Philly do that. I don't know.
Okay, so question number two. What is your death row meal? So let's think of a reason you're on death row. Maybe you're backstage at one of your shows, and you go for one of your lozenges, and you taste it, and you say, wait a second, this doesn't have star anise in it. And they're like, oh yeah, they were out of a star anise one. And you just lose your goddamn mind.
Yeah, and, of course.
And you're like, oh my God, he has a suicide vest on. And you take off the suicide vest because you live through this and you throw it on someone. It's a whole thing. Anyway, you killed somebody.
Yeah. Glad it was only somebody. Given that it was a suicide vest.
Yeah. Well, it was a one person suicide vest. I want to commit suicide vest. Not I want to take out people.
Got it. Yeah. Really good to clarify that. That's really good to clarify. Yeah.
But now you're on death row. Yeah. What is your death row meal?
It's primarily my, and I know everyone says this, but my mother makes unbelievable chocolate chip cookies. Unbelievable chocolate chip cookies. So that is the primary source of this meal. Because at this point, I don't need sustenance to get me through any more time than what I'm than maybe the rest of this day.
So yes, you can have fast carbs. You can have your fast carbs.
Yeah, it's fine. I'll just be riding that high until it's all over. It's all said and done. If I had to add another element, I would say Detroit style pizza of just about any kind, but probably some bad, like some dirty Detroit style pizza, like Jets would be a company from that area. Little Caesars does a nasty Detroit style pizza, which I really like.
Really? Is that only in Detroit that they do it? They do that in every Little Caesar.
They do it in every Little Caesars, yeah. It's just that thick, sort of fluffy square style that they've got. They've got them at Little Caesars now everywhere. We get it here. A lot of my family lives in LA now, and we all will order that every once in a while.
Have you had the Apollonia's version of the Detroit style pizza?
No, I haven't, but someone was just telling me, yeah, I haven't. Have you?
Oh, Gabe Gibbs, you must. You must. All right. You must. It's ethereal. It's otherworldly. And it's very close to Little Caesar. So just keep driving a little bit further past.
Incredible.
What is the best high-end meal you've ever had?
Okay. I stumbled into a restaurant in Austin called Uchi, which they have they've got one like Houston and Dallas and Austin, or maybe two in Houston. Anyway,
guess what? I'm about to blow your mind. They just opened one in West Hollywood.
Wait, really?
Yeah. Oh,
dude, it's so good. Have you been?
I went last week, actually.
Oh, it's so good. It was like one of those, like, we got lucky and there was something. I was on tour at the time and we like happened to be doing some like charity benefit concert on our day off, like right next to it, and we were like, let's just go grab dinner over here. And it was early enough that they had time open, and it was like, it was so good. Such like a charming vibe, and the food so dialed in. It was just really great.
Yeah, so it's like modern sushi. It's a modern sushi restaurant. It's like not super duper authentic, but it's like really fun. And like, it's almost like Nobu 2.0. It's like,
Oh, that's a great way of saying it.
Yeah. It's cool. It's interesting. Love the vibe. I actually had a great time there, and there was a lot of people poo pooing on the restaurant when it opened, but that's cause like people don't give a restaurant time to breathe anymore. Like it needs like 3 months and then you can go and start your whatever. But man, I had a great time. Wonderful service, good hospitality, great food. Please be a sponsor of the podcast, Uchi. Ooh. Or I'll tell them where you actually get your fish from.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
LA River.
Yeah.
Ooh, right outside of Frogtown. Ooh,
yeah.
Spot.
Your secret can be safe with me.
Mm-hmm.
That's a good one. What is the best low-end meal you've ever had? So this can be a Detroit style pizza. It could be a street taco.
Yeah, it is almost, it's just north of street taco, and I hesitate to call it low end because I don't want to disrespect it, but it doesn't have
walls where you eat. It is outside. It is a stand. It's Plaita in Silver Lake. It's a fish taco place on Sunset that, like, it's the same people who do guisados. They have a ceviche and fish taco place, and it's near where I live in Silver Lake. It's so good. So good. It's my favorite fish taco in LA. And it's like,
wow,
$4 a taco, $5 a taco.
I should clarify that I don't say, and we don't mean on the podcast, low end in any pejorative way. That I live in the low end. That's my happy place.
Great.
Plaita is the name of it?
Plaita, yeah, like the beach.
Very cool. Are you a drinker? Do you imbibe? Do you have a favorite drunk food?
I do imbibe sometimes. My drunk food, I would say, is I'm rarely, maybe never, drunk out. I'm, if only, at home. So my drunk food is cereal. I love cereal. Just like when I'm feeling cozy and sloppy and I have a hoodie on, it's cereal, baby.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay. There's a lot to unpack here.
Okay.
Why do you never publicly... You're not like a politician where you can't like get drunk in public.
No, you're right. I just don't feel any sort of substance out in a public space makes me anxious for some reason. I think.
Really?
Yeah. I think I grew up real clean cut. I grew up a preacher's kid. So I like still have residual, like, got to keep it buttoned up outside of the house stuff. So if you come over to my house, we can have a good time. If I come over to yours, I'll have a half good time, but it's just got to keep, there's something in me that won't let me like be out and about in that way.
Oh my God. That is so funny. I'm just picturing us like walking into your house, like passing the neighbors. Hey guys. Hey Gabe, how's it going? Great. How are the kids? Great. And then like, as soon as that door closes, like just, it's just tourniquets and needles.
All over. Yeah. For sure.
Do you have a hangover cure that you rely on when you're in your home, curtains drawn?
That's right. Only at home. As you could guess by the double carton of eggs in our fridge, eggs and toast dials me in when I'm not feeling right. That always eggs scrambled hard, because if they're soft when you're not feeling well, if you scramble them hard, it feels like your body knows what to do with it. It like doesn't have, there's no risk of any texture you're not happy with.
Yeah.
Scrambled hard and toast, and that'll get you right.
All right. We have a new phrase to add to our phrase of gross words during this thing. Scrambled hard.
Yeah.
Scrambled hard. Has been added to the list.
Yeah. I don't think it's anywhere near Sister Curd. Oh, God. I don't think it's anywhere near
that. Sister Curd's still in the lead, but it's still anyone's game. Who knows? We're not done yet. Yeah. I'm workshopping this new question. Favorite dessert?
Ooh. Probably my mom's cookies, but I already said that. So I'll give you... I love a cheesecake. Mm. Kind of any kind, but the more classic, the better. Like just a strawberry on top, or the sort of plain dead center cheesecake is my go to. But I'll have any kind of cheesecake you put down in front of me.
You know who makes a ridiculously sublime one in LA? Hi Ho. You know Hi Ho, the burger place.
Oh, really?
Hi Ho, the burger place, same restaurant group as Sugarfish, Wovo, Kazunori. They have a burger place called Hi Ho, which is like their version of a In-N-Out style burger joint. They, my friend, have a cheesecake that has the strawberry schmear that you were talking about.
Ooh.
That is probably one of the best cheesecakes I've had in the past decade.
No way. Okay. Immediately writing it down.
Write that down. Put that on the list. You can postmate it. It'll get to your house before we're done with this podcast.
Hi Ho. I'm texting my wife out of the blue. Hi Ho cheesecake. I hope she doesn't take that wrong. We'll be all right.
Who's your favorite celebrity food personality?
Okay, I have like a cool guy answer, and then I have a real answer.
Okay, besides Anthony Bourdain.
Okay, yeah. My cool guy answer is Roy Choi, because I think he's so cool. I loved when he did the chef show with Jon Favreau on Netflix. It was just like them. It was sort of like him showing Jon Favreau how to cook in a way that was like, that whole show was charming. I really liked that. So I really like the story of Roy Choi coming up through like the food truck scene before those were cool. That's cool to me.
Yeah.
But like as a Midwest kid, it's Guy Fieri. Like he's everyone loves, and he's good at his job. Like,
yes.
Very good at his job. You know, I've got the cool LA answer, but if I'm honest, it's probably Guy Fieri.
I think that is a very acceptable 1-2 punch.
Okay, cool.
Absolutely. Do you have a desert island food? So you're trapped on a desert island. One food you are never going to get tired of eating. What's it going to be?
It's going to be the Jimmy John's Turkey Tom sub.
Whoa. Okay, expand. What is in the Turkey Tom?
It's just turkey, lettuce, tomato, onion. I add hot peppers. I do mustard on there, and there's provolone cheese, and it's just right down the middle turkey sandwich. But I love that Jimmy John's bread.
Wow!
But it's so good.
I remember when the Subway, they were like, oh, they use a yoga mat. Yes. Material that they use for yoga mats. And yes. It's like, yes, well, it is very soft and nice and chewy, like a yoga mat.
100%. 100%.
Don't ask what Jimmy John's makes the bread out of.
Whatever it takes. Whatever
it takes.
It
doesn't matter.
Namaste, baby. If it's a yoga mat, count me in. Count me in.
Is there a food that you can't stand eating?
Oh, this... I thought about this, too. To me, it's diet desserts. This is a hill I will die on. Look, I'm all about eating healthy as much as you can within reason, but there are certain things that like dessert is dessert, and just have less of a good one than having a full serving of doo-doo. Like, what are we gotta, it feels like tripping at the finish line to me. It's like we're getting dessert, but we're not all the way there.
Mm.
That's my stance on that.
I want to hum glory, glory, hallelujah as you go on that tirade.
Yeah. Ascend into the heavens. And it shall be.
I think, so I'm at a loss for words because it's the first time someone has said a similar thing to mine, which is I can't take the diet flavoring in anything. Like I don't like Diet Coke. That like aspartame-y flavor, my mouth does what I imagine the mouths of people who can't stand cilantro, like what it does. Sure. It's just I cannot fucking stand it.
Yep.
Yeah, man. Wow.
Yeah.
Gabe Gibbs. we're podcast falling in love with each other.
Yes, kindred spirits. Yes,
kindred spirits. We're up to our last question, which is my favorite question of the pod, which is what is or what are your restaurant pet peeves?
I think, so I was just eating with some friends at, what's it called? Trendy downtown Italian place, Bastia. Mm-hmm, I was just eating there, which by the way, that place has been open for over a decade, packed every single day, packed. Good for them.
Always.
It's so
all good. Their restaurants, Bestia, Bevel, Staffies, they're all the same restaurant group and they're always, always packed.
Oh, but they always, always do a good job.
Yeah, they do.
So we were there and it's, I get it. People are doing the gig. We've all worked service industry jobs. People are doing the gig. I get it.
But not me. Like, I'm rich. I have a broken back.
Oh, yeah,
myself,
you're right.
In case.
Yeah, you're
I'll
right.
keep replacing.
So let me explain to you who are above the rest of us what it's like. No, I get it. People are doing the gig, but the holding the water
carafe at the very bottom and reaching as far as you can to like fill us up in a way that's like half ballet, half, and it's like you're trying not to interrupt. Do you know what I'm saying? But your whole body yes. is now leaned across gracefully, though it may be, your whole body is leaned across the table. And there's part, I get you don't want to interrupt and you don't want to be like, hey, can you hand me that? But it's almost, it would almost be better. Do you know what I'm saying?
Yes. Yes. Interesting pet peeve. I don't think anyone's ever brought that up on the pod. The interrupting water pour.
Yeah. It's just because it was fresh on the brain that I was like, this guy was like leaning, man, just like trapeze artist across. I was like, dude, I'll hand you the glass. It will be all right. None of what we're saying is important enough that you have to like Catherine Zeta-Jones through lasers, like reach through and pour the like, it doesn't have to be that way.
Right. Like Ocean's 11, yeah. Like doing the acrobat thing. Okay, I'm going to take that and put that into a broader category.
Please.
Of servers trying to impress us with their antics. Ooh. Okay? And one of those antics for me is the, I don't need to write down your order.
Oh,
I'm going to show you how good my memory is.
Please write it down. Please write it down.
Please write it down.
Ooh.
No Ooh. One is impressed by this. No one is going to... like I always say, you're going to be full of anxiety the whole time. And if they get your order right, you've just been, now you have cortisol coursing through your body.
Yes.
All because you wanted to do your little brain, to do your little brain trick to stave off Alzheimer's disease.
Yeah. Yeah. Do Sudoku before your shift. Don't do this to us because we are now having a bad experience. Yes. Yes.
Yeah. So yeah, interesting. I'm going to put that the carafe parkour guy the same category of that. Wait, now could he have come around the table on the other side and poured in the less?
No, in his defense, we were sitting in like a booth where he couldn't go to the other side, so he did have to like lean in or just ask me, and I'll slide that thing over to you. It's not a problem. For
seems like the story is changing a little bit, Gabe.
Yeah, you're right.
Seems like the story is changing. Well, this poor guy had no way to pour your water.
Wow.
Other than to do that move, which
you're right.
You know, because I'm sure he didn't want to say, "Hey, hand me." Saying, "Hey, hand me your water," is pretty invasive. And instead, this guy on his nights and weekends and time off would train. Try to get his rotator cuff and his elbow into the right position.
Yeah.
He kept pouring it on the table and messing, and then had to like pay out of his own pocket to comp these people until he finally got it right. He finally does get it right, and then you come on my platform.
Yeah, you're right.
My platform.
Wow, these fucking 1%ers on this podcast. Just roasting the working people. Wow.
And another thing, that guy in the bathroom who I have to give a dollar to put soap on my hand.
Yeah.
Get a job. He has a job. He does. He has the worst job in the world.
Yes, that is the one. Oh, that's a tough gig. That's a tough gig.
I don't know what to
do. I wasn't fancy enough growing up to be in those environments, so now I don't know what to do when I'm in the bathroom with a bathroom attendant. How am I meant to behave? Do you have coaching for me on how
I'm glad you
to
asked.
Behave? Yeah,
please. I am actually recording a masterclass right now. Do you guys subscribe to the Patreon?
Yeah. It's an entire 6-part series. There's a lot to talk about.
It's awful. It's awful. First of all, you don't see them very much anymore. They've gone the way of like the squeegee guy. Yeah. I don't really see them as much anymore. But when I do, man, there was a guy at Balthazar. Balthazar's a fancy pants restaurant in New York. I wonder if you went there while you were Broadwaying. It's downtown.
I haven't been. But I should.
Very grand French restaurant downtown. And they used to have a bathroom attendant. And it was always this very nice man who was like from Kenya and was always like reading a textbook. Like he was working hard to like get out of there. And he was so nice. And you think this guy's like spending the whole day in the bathroom. I'd give a fiver. I'd give a fiver.
That's which was okay.
I think at least a one. You gotta give the guy a one. Even if all he's doing is pulling the napkin, the paper towel to give it to you. It's like, man, I mean, yeah, the guy's sitting in there the whole day. God, who knows what that guy sees? Who knows what he sees?
Who knows? Oh. Well, good. Thank you for the coaching on that, because I did not exist in those environments ever. So anytime it happens, I only
existed in those environments. In fact, in my home growing up, we hired someone to stay in the bathroom to put soap on my hands.
That's right. I keep forgetting who I'm talking to. I'm so sorry. I must have lost myself for a moment.
My God. It's okay. You're back. We got you back.
Yeah, good.
Gabe, this has been such a pleasure. Thank you for doing the pod. Tell the people where they can find you.
You can find me on social media and live about the world. I'll be announcing dates and stuff, but that's all on my social media. It's just Gabe Gibbs, or if you're on TikTok, it's The Gabe Gibbs. Feels pretentious, but it was the only one available. So it's just my name.
The one and only. The one and only.
The one and only.
Awesome. Thanks, man. I appreciate you. And I'll see you a little bit further down than Little Caesars.
Oh,
just a little further.
That's right.
At Apollonia's. You got to try it. It's unreal.
I got to write that down too, Apollonia's.
Holy shit. Wait, I'm about to blow your goddamn mind. You ready for this?
Whoa.
Across the street from Apollonia's, across the street is a Hi-Ho Burger where you can go and get your cheesecake. Holy cow.
Wow.
There's your date night. There's your date night.
Glory, glory, hallelujah. We really found it.
So I'm just glad we didn't end on the note of feeling bad for bathroom attendance. I was like, we gotta pump it up.
Yeah.
We pumped it up. All right. That's thanks, great. Man.
Of course, dude.